May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to reiterate the invitation to the dark wood, where often, maybe most often, we find our loving God and we find ourselves as well. There are so many images that flow through my mind when I hear the word dark wood. I think of the woods of the Wizard of Oz movie with those talking trees and the Tin Man that's rusted, paralyzed. Because sometimes in the dark woods, we become paralyzed. I think of the woods around Michigan State University where I would walk with friends, and one in particular, his name was Fergie. He just had this particular ability to point out the wonders of the woods. We'd be walking along and he'd tap me on the shoulder and say, "Jack, in the tree there's a raccoon or some other critter that was running about." The little wonders of those woods. You can experience wonder in the dark wood. I think of many movies and plays and other times where they lift up the deep woods or the dark woods as frightening and intimidating. You can experience fear in the dark wood. I think of an experience that I shared with those who attended our Ash Wednesday service, an experience when I was lost in the woods at a camp that I had gone to for over 20 years. It was one of those beautiful nights in which it was a moonlit night when I wouldn't normally carry a flashlight and probably wouldn't use it if I had one with me. But I went to the manager's cabin for a quick meeting, and by the time I had left, it had become overcast. And I had struck out, not being able to see, and sort of found my way home. And then it started raining. And what should have been a 7 to 8 minute stroll turned out to be a half an hour of wet and miserable drudgery. You see, I was uncertain about what path to take, and I took the wrong path. As I shared in a couple publications about our Lenten programming, I like to hike, not on rainy, overcast nights. But when Ruth and I were married, I shared with her my love of hiking and even talked her into spending 3 days of our honeymoon hiking on the Appalachian Trail at the Northern Inn at the northern end of the trail in New Hampshire and Maine. To demonstrate what a good sport my wife is, I should explain this is 3 nights in a bunkhouse with other people. It was not romantic, and she will tell you so. But anyway, one morning we woke up in a fog, we woke up with a cloud that had settled onto the mountaintop. I've told this story before. I love this story. We had about 8 to 9 hours of hiking that day, and became concerned as the cloud didn't burn off the mountain as the sun rose higher into the sky. You hike about a mile an hour, and we had about 8 to 9 miles to go, and we waited 1 hour, and no one was taking off from that cabin. The problem is that as we hiked, we were going over the tree line, and once you get above the tree line, the path is only marked by these small piles of stones about 20 yards away from each other. It would be easy to wander off the path. There was no path. Just wander off between those stone piles. But, you know, within an hour and a half, we decided we needed to strike out and see what progress we could make. And it wasn't very long before we were no longer in the cloud, we were above it. So imagine that. I mean, the sun shining down on the mountaintop and onto the top of the cloud lit it up like you can't believe. It was spectacular. It was beautiful. The sun shone across the top of that mountain, Ruth was on her knees taking pictures of these delicate little white flowers that grew up out of the crevices of that rocky mountaintop. Could have stayed up there a long time. It was an unexpected joy to experience that literal mountaintop experience as we traveled. And the cloud finally began to disperse. We would actually be looking down on valleys where the cloud was breaking up. We even saw a plane flying through the valley. We were that high up. In the midst of uncertainty, we struck out, and we were certainly rewarded for our courage to do so. And you can probably tell from my description the pleasure that we experienced that began so dubiously. Uncertainty is the first gift of the dark wood that we are considering as we begin our Lenten studies on Gifts of the Dark Wood. That's the name of the book by Reverend Dr. Eric Elney's senior minister at Countryside Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska. The subtitle of his book is Seven Blessings for Soulful Skeptics and Other Wanderers. He writes, quote, "Uncertainty seems to me more like a curse than a gift. When you cannot see the end point of your journey or the path ahead is not clearly marked, you grow nervous." Sort of like waking up in a cloud. Now, how often do you wake up, my friends? How often do you wake up and say, "I think I'll just wander around today," and then with great uncertainty take off in any random direction? Anybody ever do that? We had somebody at one service who said, "Yes, they do that." I would love to do that someday. I hope to grow up to do that someday. Chances are you have your schedule set. Work demands. Demands of family life, your planner, your phone, everybody telling you what to do on that day. In fact, wandering seems like an irresponsible undertaking. Well, uncertainty is an uncomfortable place for most of us. And those of us who lived in the faith do a great disservice and perhaps even harm when we seek to remove uncertainty from life. Elnis comments that in the Gifts of the Dark Wood that the more certainty a religion claims to deliver, the more frenzied and hysterical are its adherents. I'm not sure that's fully and always true. However, I do agree that life is messy and no amount of doctrine or dogma changes that. Here's my experience as a pastor. When a parishioner or a friend calls at a time of crisis, They don't want to know my theology of how God is the first movement in creation and Jesus Christ is the mediator of our sins, and not only our sins but the sins of the world. They don't want to hear me pontificate about how the Holy Spirit is the sustainer who intercedes on our behalf, allowing us to have saving knowledge of the redemptive power of God. They don't want to hear that. They want to know if I'll be present to them. They want to know if their faith community will be there for them. They want to know that God loves us and understands pain, even the pain of losing a child, his only begotten, and that the Spirit's presence can wash over us with a tangible presence that calms and heals. You see, I believe we need a balance between certainty and uncertainty. And frankly, while we understand the fear involved with uncertainty, it might be healthy to embrace the fear of certainty as well at times. Elnis recognizes that the biblical heroes of our faith, both those from our Judaic roots and the early Christian church, lived their lives in the midst of high uncertainty. Their faith did not exempt them, did not insulate them from uncertainty and struggle. In fact, he goes on to say that those in our scripture who consider certainty and absence of struggle to be the ultimate of value are the villains. From the serpent in the Garden of Eden to Pontius Pilate. I mean, you remember how the serpent was quite sure that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the fruit from that tree would not harm them. But Adam ate, Eve ate. Pontius Pilate traded Jesus' life for the assurance of maintaining his power as king. They all wanted certainty. Paul, in the scripture for today, writes that those of us who have need of certainty in life are being childish. While certainty may come in the fullness of time, to have an adult faith is to put away our desire for certainty. He writes, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when we see face to face, now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." The word dimly in this passage comes from the Greek word enigmatic, which is where the English word for enigma comes from. And you know what enigma means, right? A puzzle or mystery. In this life, Paul feels we see only the reflection of God and are left with much that is mystery. And as Elnis writes, what Paul is saying is that a mature faith is one that embraces life as mystery to be lived and not a problem to be solved, that accepts uncertainty as a gift, not a curse. But to fully understand and appreciate what I believe should be the balance between uncertainty and certainty, we should recognize the context in which Paul wrote about that mirror in which we see dimly. And you recognize the passage, right? That 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Where do you hear it? All the time. Weddings, right? Yeah. 90% of the weddings I've conducted have that as the scripture. It's called the great hymn of love, Paul's hymn of love. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." These are familiar words, are they not? Can you hear the certainty in them? Without love, I'm a clanging cymbal. Without love, I am nothing. Without love, I gain nothing. So I believe the crux of Paul's message in this hymn of love is that there is uncertainty as we move toward mature faith and faith that involves embracing uncertainty. But we can be certain of love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, a love that never ends. Now, there are many things, friends, of which I am uncertain. And the more I learn, the more I'm uncertain about many more things. Are you with me on that a little bit? I love what the psalmist says about God's presence, because that's something that we can always be certain of. What I am certain of is that love is always present because God is always present. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 137, "Where can I get away from your spirit? If I go to the highest mountaintop, there you are, God. If I go to the depths of Sheol, of hell, there you are also. If I go across the sea, you will lead me by the hand and you will hold me in your right hand." In the introductory chapter of The Gifts of the Darkwood, Pastor Elnis writes about his favorite name for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get me a pet name for the Holy Spirit too. It's cool. He calls the Holy Spirit unexpected love. Unexpected love. Friends, we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus promised the Holy Spirit's presence in his absence as he left this earth. And I'm truly excited as we begin this Lenten journey into the dark wood, where I am certain that God dwells and where I pray you will find yourselves. The beautiful and best part of this journey is we do not make it alone. There are companions for each of us, no matter how you approach the journey. You may want to just hear messages and come to worship and review the content through the message notes and devotionals. They're also posted on our website. You may want to get a copy of the Gifts of the Dark Wood. Pastor Elnis writes that he'll be your spiritual guide as you read through this book. I believe we're out of books. What a great problem to have. They're all gone, but we've ordered more. We'll make them available to you. You may want to journey with others through the three studies that have been set up on Thursday morning, Thursday evening, and Sunday evening. I start my study tonight at 7:30. You may want to journey with others. Just read the book, invite him to your home, and talk over these gifts of the dark wood. Of course, perhaps the greatest companion on this Lenten journey will be the Holy Spirit, unexpected love. The challenge for this morning, as we come to the end of discussing the first gift of the dark wood, is to determine who will be your companion or companions on the journey this Lent. I pray that you will encounter God in the dark wood and discover more about yourself. I pray that you will encounter unexpected love. Because as Paul tells us, now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. That's the word of God for the people of God today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.